This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Who came along for the ride? Hey, you can't come inside.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Twitter followers and a successful entrepreneur that keeps getting censored for just mild things. And this is pretty mild stuff, he says. He calls himself the dangerous faggot because I call him a classical liberal. I'm a classical liberal. I'm into more freedom. Doesn't mean I have to adopt what everybody else is doing. But at the same time now, they have banned him for life on Twitter. It's one of the biggest stories in the world on DrudgeReport.com, New York Times, you name it. I didn't realize he's not giving them interviews. He just came here. And this interview is coming up after the break, so we're going to tweet that out. Exclusive statement on him being banned for life. This is crazy. Paul Watson's done a powerful video on it, of the truth about Milo. I need to get that out. Joe Biggs, separately, you've been attacked. You've been burned. You've had to file police reports. They've arrested them by the communists. I got attacked by the communists. There's a coup at Fox News. I mean, are we in the middle of a coup against America right now?
I was actually just standing downstairs, and there was a whole bunch of guys with, like, red bandanas, and they were looking at me, pointing at me, like, that's him, that's him. I'm like, yeah, I'm the guy that's taking your leader down. I'm the guy that's going to sit here and make sure that this communist bastard...
Well, this is all over. Let's just go and find these guys.
Yeah, I'm down.
In trouble, but screw you, commies. You don't scare us.
So either way, I stopped the guy who was trying to light our flag on fire, and I tried to put it out in my hand, burnt my hand. I ripped the guy's shirt off. There was a huge scuffle. Cops on horses coming in. I mean, there was like over 1,000 people in this little circle right here on the road. And it was intense, man. There was the flags going all over the place. We're trying to put it out. This guy's down on the ground, and it was 13 commies got arrested. So all in all, it's a pretty good day.
Well, I mean, the point is they attack people and then say they aren't. And they're out there trying to incite a riot, clearly, in front of a bunch of veterans burning an American flag.
Well, this guy's been known. He's a habitual... You know, dirtbag. He's everywhere.
Same thing with this Dix guy. Everywhere he goes, there's bad stuff the next few days.
Yeah, Carl Dix, Baltimore. He's a guy that goes out there with a megaphone, gets everybody riled up, and then when, you know, stuff hits the fan, he walks off and sits back and kind of smiles and lets everyone else go to jail. This time, they came to him.
Well, overall, I've never felt the spirit of America rising stronger. It actually freaks me out. I mean, I've been very emotional. You guys know that. Behind the scenes, especially just seeing this country awaken, but also see the threat and how close this horse race is between Hillary and these fake New York Times articles, 78% chance she's going to win. Total bull, man. What is your overall feel, though, on this RNC?
It's Trump all the way. I mean, I've been to almost all these events with, you know, half of our crew. And you see thousands upon thousands of people that come from Canada, that come from states away to go listen to this man speak. No one does that for Hillary Clinton. There was like 100 people that showed up to Long Beach to her event. It was lackluster. It was depressing. It was ridiculous. No one cares. She's horrible. Hillary for prison, 2016. Clinton for San Quentin.
What's it like to see our memes dominating everywhere?
It's everywhere. You can't walk 10 feet in Cleveland right now without seeing a Hillary for prison t-shirt. And if it's not ours, it's a knockoff. But hey, you guys are taken from us, and that's flattering. That's awesome.
Yeah, no. I mean, and to be quite frank, I saw one guy a year and a half ago with a sticker. I think it was like homemade. That's where I got the idea. I said, hey, some guy had a sticker. Let's put this out. And other people picked it up. I can care less. And, you know, so I know you're the progenitor of that idea. The point is, I'm just carrying a ball just to get it out to folks. And so it's very, very exciting. If we're going to make a run at Hillary Clinton, let's go all the way. What do you make of Milo? Lifetime ban. This is their model of the Internet where they claim he incited cultural or sexual or racist stuff. As he said, the new Ghostbusters movie looks so horrible. In the trailer, I would never watch it. Not because it's three women. They suck, man.
I was bullhorning all the different Twitter stations that are set up throughout the RNC, screaming free Milo, and then had the entire crowd chanting. And we were all sitting there giving them thumbs down. Milo's over there laughing. I mean, we were sitting there booing him and doing all that. And we're like, free Milo, shame on you. You guys are dirtbags. Freedom of speech. And everyone was just like, yeah.
Oh, great job. We're going to go down Media Road later. We're going to go out and set out a commies later. They're looking for us.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. And then we're going to also go in for Trump's speech tonight. Good job.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is a warning to all household pests, to all cockroaches, spiders, ants, rodents, and other pests. If you've just made yourself at home in someone else's home, you better hope the owners never hear about Terminix. Because Terminix has the know-how and the means to do whatever it takes to remove you from that home. Terminix has over 85 years of experience exterminating invaders like you. And right now, they're making it easier than ever for homes to be protected by offering a free pest estimate to every caller at 1-800-676-1468. Cockroaches, spiders, ants, rodents, and other pests. This is your eviction notice. With one call, Terminix will remove you from the home you've invaded. If you think you can simply come back later, think again. Terminix will protect that home with a 100% satisfaction money-back guarantee so you can never return. Warning, homeowners are calling Terminix right now for a free pest estimate at 1-800-676-1468. 1-800-676-1468.
Limitations apply. See plan for details.
To a professional trader in precious metals, the key is spot price. Spot price is market price, what gold or silver actually costs on the exchange. Regular people looking to invest never get spot price because resellers add fees for everything. Refining, minting, brokerage costs, commissions. The public is never offered spot price until now. In a limited new customer outreach, JM Bullion offers you the chance to own a 10-ounce bar of pure silver at spot price. No fees, commissions, markups, not even a shipping cost. Now, through JM Bullion, own the most real investment of all at real cost. Not a piece of paper from Wall Street or a bank. A 10-ounce bar of silver at spot price. That's a solid investment. But you must act now. Go online to realpricesilver.com for this limited time offer. That's realpricesilver.com. Realpricesilver.com. Limit one offer per household. 50 United States only.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Milo Yiannopoulos with tens of millions of Twitter followers, just viral videos every day. I don't really need to introduce who he is, successful entrepreneur, and he also goes by the dangerous faggot, because I guess he doesn't want to go along with the fake liberals that want to restrict free speech and like ban the word mother and father and all this weird Jim Jones stuff. But I didn't realize how huge this interview was going to be, because I've been trying to get you on for months. And then, I met you over at the Ritz at one of those Republican functions covering stuff. And I know you and Paul Watson have talked, and he's been covering how you get censored all over the internet, but they're now using you literally. I can't believe this is happening. While this coup against the media happens, Fox News has a coup taking it over. Drudge has warned everybody that the Supreme Court justice told him now is the time they're coming after free speech. He warned a year ago. It's now happening on this show. And I think this interview is up there in importance because this is the day after you've been banned, lifetime ban, and they say under these UN rules, anybody will be banned on the internet, period, if you've been shown to be hateful, for making fun of the abominable Ghostbusters movie. So this is getting crazier and crazier, and I wonder, I'm like, Milo's not giving statements to the press They're all, it's like one of the top stories in the world right now. I mean, this is crazy. And he comes in and goes, oh, yeah, I'm going to give you the unfettered statement because it's live and I won't be censored. So, Milo, you've got the floor. Walk through what's happened. A lot of folks are watching. A lot of people are listening. We'll recap it to a little bit later, but thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I'm glad we got through this at last.
You bet. Well, this is insane. This is wild. I didn't realize, I mean, I knew this was epic, but I didn't realize it was like supernova epic.
Turn me into the little star of the RNC. You know, I don't know how stupid Twitter is, but I don't think they anticipated what was going to happen.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about, for new viewers or folks that haven't followed it, what's really happened. Your statement, go ahead.
Sure. Well, I published a review of the new Ghostbusters movie, which is a really bad film. It's a very bad film. It seems to me to be the first film, I mean, maybe the first film I've ever seen, anyone I can think of, which has been conceived entirely out of spite. This is a movie that just hates men. It is a movie that can, you know, that drops in a million little dull, thin, mean, nasty, third-wave, Twitter-style feminist jabs. They throw Bill Murray out of the window. He's just a sort of nice metaphor for what they've done to the franchise generally. And at the end, they shoot the big marshmallow guy in the nuts, you know, to kill. It's just all these tiny, nasty little jabs.
Sounds
throughout.
Like toddlers made a movie.
Exactly. It's the first movie I can think of that was made entirely out of childish spite. Now, the thing about the first Ghostbusters movie, and maybe people didn't think of this at the time, but it is like a libertarian showcase. You know, the bad guys in the first movie aren't the ghosts. The bad guys in the first movie are the government. The ghosts in the first movie are adorable. You know, they're nice, fun characters.
Slimer looks like a good guy to party with.
Of course, who doesn't want to party with the ghosts from Ghostbusters? No, but the villains in the first movie were the government. It was the bungling bureaucrats getting in the way of
private.
Exactly. Anyway, the new movie is entirely from this sort of mean. You know, I know you do a lot of feminism. Paul Joseph Watson does a lot of feminism.
I've seen it though. A lot of movies now. You go see them. The new House Party movie was unwatchable. All about how men are demons. We did all this stuff, and I was just like, I wasn't even offended. It was so horrible.
Yeah.
I was like assaulted. If you're going to assault me, at least make it entertaining.
Do you know what? I have a golden rule in life, which is be twice as funny as you are offensive, and this failed my golden rule. I wouldn't have minded if I'd been laughing along, but it was almost worse than a genuinely kind of terrible movie. It was just sort of, you know, you kind of like chuckled a few times, but otherwise it was just dreadful. Anyway, I published a review on Breitbart, a 2,000-word review. It's very long, very funny.
Breitbart.com.
If you want to see stuff by and about me now, no longer on Twitter, but you can go to Breitbart.com/Milo and they aggregate everything about me in one place.
For now, though. For now.
I'm not going to get banned from Breitbart anytime soon, I don't think. But
no, they are going after the internet, is what I mean.
No, of course. You can go there. Anyway, I published this 2,000-word review, and Leslie Jones, who is the Black Ghostbuster, didn't like it very much. She wasn't very keen on it. She took to Twitter to say, She was triggered. She was triggered. She took to Twitter to say, you know, you're terrible, you should be banned, all the rest of it. So I cracked a few jokes, as I am wont to do sometimes. You know, she blocked me, so I took a screenshot of that, and I said, ugh, rejected by another black dude, because she looks remarkably like one of my ex-boyfriends. You know, and I said, a few little jokes like that, you know, I mean, just little things like I do all the time. I mean, look, if you don't like that kind of humor, fine. But, you know, remarkably, I think Twitter's finally pulled the trigger on me. They've had a Milo problem for a while. They've been
lifetime ban.
With a lifetime ban on Twitter because I made a few jokes about you know, this is the state.
But you use your fame, your personality to drive tens of millions of followers there, and then they just take it from you. We are the people that make Twitter and Facebook big. I just don't get this.
Well, we're the most interesting thing on there. I mean, the left is so boring now. All they do is sort of hector and language police, and you know, they look at the world through one prism alone, which is the prism of bigotry. Is this person racist, sexist, homophobic, or transphobic? If not, we're not interested in the story, and if yes, go nuts. You know, that's really all most of the American media does now. They have given up the pursuit of truth and exposing wrongdoing, and instead they're in the business of virtue signaling to each other.
Well, you're taking this pretty good, but I mean, for me, it's a bellwether with the coup at Fox, all the stuff
You're next. They're coming for you next.
Oh, I believe you. They're already after me.
You,
I know.
Ann Coulter, they're going to get all of us. For me, very honestly, I'm not as upset as people think I should be about this because, it's turned me into a little micro star on this. You know, I've become a free speech martyr. Thing is, you know, I saw this coming, so I've started to plan. I don't have anything like the audience you do, but I'm starting to build one on YouTube and various other places.
Well, you've got a huge audience, but probably, expanding on that, then, but let's talk about what they're claiming you did, because Paul Watson shot a video about it. I saw
it's
you break it down.
It's interesting that no one will publish it. You know, all these left-wing media outlets, you know, who I've said no to interviews to because I wanted to sit down with somebody who was kind of on message I can actually talk, you know. All these media outlets say, oh, Milo Yiannopoulos incited this hate brigade and these terrible things. Not one of them quotes anything I said.
I was reading the New York Times. It sounded like you, like, committed murders.
No, not one of them.
All you was made
anything
fun.
Anything I said. And, of course, you know, I'm like... So what Twitter's line on this seems to be that I incited harassment of an individual by publishing a movie review? Are you insane? Should I start censoring my movie reviews in case they contain any women or black characters that might get bad words on the internet? This is nuts.
Yeah, so you cover it. A few trolls, might even be them, say something racist. Now it's your fault.
Is it?
So it's like the Nazis. If somebody fought them in Poland, down the street, they'd kill the whole street.
No, I mean, seriously.
So like, you know, like if your neighbor does something wrong, we're going to come after you.
Exactly. This guilt by association, a classic
tactic. Fascist.
Classic tactic of the left, classic authoritarian tactics, you know, guilt by association. This is Zelensky stuff, which you know very well.
You're right, the left and the right have done it, but I mean, this is classic totalitarianism.
They know it, of course.
Someone, you wrote an article, so people in the comments make racist comments, you're banned.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, the thing is, you know, they don't go after, you know, in fact, Twitter employees have been egging on the war between, like, for instance, Taylor Swift and Kim Kardashian, you know, these sort of celebrity wars. They love They love to egg
on. You can have
on.
Twitter accounts say kill Donald Trump.
Of course, and you know, female...
But you can't make fun of a bad movie.
Female, conservative women get it even worse than we do. I mean, if you've ever talked to Ann Coulter about this...
Do you know what Leanne McAdoo goes through on Twitter?
No, I don't even want to know.
It is horrible.
I dread to think.
And it's all the left doing.
I have never, you know, my day job is technology editor at Breitbart, you know, so it's my job to keep an eye on this kind of stuff. I don't think I can ever remember an example of a progressive being banned from Twitter, no matter whether it was a rape threat, a death threat, nothing.
They have Facebook ones too. Where like
I don't think I've ever seen an example
saying kill Trump.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen an example of one of these people be banned. It's so astonishing. You know,
why do you think they're so scared of you? Because they really do hate you.
Oh, because they can't beat me. Because I fall into this weird sort of, well, for the left anyway, a weird character who's gay conservative, who's like sassy and funny and interesting, and they can't do what they normally do, like the straight white men, call them bigots and misogynists and all the rest of it. They can't label me like they normally do. They can't call me names. None of the traditional leftist tactics work on me because they're obviously just, you know, it's obviously not true. You can't call me a homophobe and get away with it. It's so stupid, you know? So they can't beat me in debate. When they come to my university talks, all they can do is shout me down, try to censor me, try to have me banned. So this is the last option they have available to them. They can't win in the court of public opinion. They can't win with ideas. So they just show you down instead.
Well, obviously they would spin what you said. They won't show your actual statements. I'm going to skip this network break. I want you to take over, Milo, because I want you to host a show right now.
I will
just say. Censored, and I want you to tell folks that are watching what you really stand for, what you really said about Ghostbusters.
Perfect.
And because you got the floor. Go ahead.
Wonderful. Ghostbusters is a really bad movie, but worse than the movie is what feminism has done to its stars, to the women who act in this movie. It's turned the superstars of Hollywood blockbusters into victims. Nothing offends me, really. I mean, I don't have that bit of my brain where I get offended or afraid or all the rest of it. I'm maybe unbroken, but I don't get offended by many things. But I was sort of offended on behalf of women, not just because of the stereotypical and dumb portrayals of women in this movie. You know, you've got the tomboy, you've got the sort of 80s sassy black woman played by Leslie Jones, which all my black friends cringed at enormously. But what happened to these women is they turned themselves into professional victims, into grievance mongers, and these are strong, talented, successful women who are sitting at home in wherever they live in, you know, Beverly Hills or whatever, on their iPhones, worrying about what people are saying on the internet. These women are victims, but not
poor babies.
I know, but these women are victims, just not of what they think. They're not victims of the patriarchy. They're not victims of some white supremacist conspiracy. These people are victims of feminism. These women are victims of people who have told them that everything that is wrong in their life is down to a man somewhere. Or black people, that everything is wrong in your life is down to some sort of hegemonic, capitalist, heteropatriarchal system. It simply isn't true. And it's so shocking to me and so depressing to see women who do now have access to, you know, education, to all the institutions of civil society, to government, everything else, constantly told that they are victims, that they are oppressed, that everything that bad happens to them in their life is somebody else's fault. And Leslie Jones, I don't know whether she was deployed by the studio on purpose to kind of drum up some sympathy because the
people obviously this is all staged.
I mean, it seems that way.
So like, make money off killing the First Amendment. Boycott their damn film.
It seems that way to me. And of course, you've got to bear in mind Sony and Amy Pascal at Sony. She was caught saying some slightly off-color things about Barack Obama in those emails that were leaked from Sony. Yeah. You remember, let's take him to go see Django or whatever it was, you know, and if she was like, So this is Amy Pascal trying to get her social justice credentials back. This is there are a lot of things going on here, and I just, from my point of view, I talk a lot about feminism in my college talks. I'm so shocked and saddened by what the left and what feminism and what political correctness has done to women. Women have been reporting themselves as getting progressively less happy every decade since the Second World War. It cannot be unrelated.
That's right. It's a bunch, let's just say it, and I'm not being mean about this, but it's a bunch of weird, twisted, ugly women.
It is.
That are jealous.
And mainly lesbians, by the way.
Exactly.
It is.
No, it is. And they want the women. I get it. I want women, too. They want to keep well, on this reservation.
No, it's like, of course these feminists hate men. They're all lesbians. If you look, I say this in my talks, and people get offended by this.
It's competition.
No, exactly. You look at the academic roster. You know, you look at the faculty list in a gender studies department.
Yeah, they want to brainwash
them. Divorce, and we're letting these women lecture, like, other women on how to negotiate with men. It's like putting Hitler in charge of a museum of Jewish antiquity. Why are these angry, overweight, horrendous, like, chip-on-shoulder conspiracy theory, you know, indulging lesbianic monsters telling women how to be women? That's insane!
Exactly. This is actually a group of vampiric pig goblins trying to destroy femininity.
I knew this was going to get competitive.
This is a satanic demon trying to suck on the essence of the goddess.
Well, I can't beat that
it's
one.
It's an attempt at the goddess. Damn you. Damn you, Janet Reno.
No, you know what? People get offended by this. I've known women, and
I'm telling you, Hillary Clinton and Janet Reno aren't one.
Well,
you're not even men.
Well, you know this. You know what?
But you're a man. You know the average man just wants to live their life and bumbling around. I mean, we're not like organizing.
Just,
this
no,
stuff
men just want food, sex, and sleep. You know, we're very simple creatures. And when we want sex really badly, we have our testosterone kicks in and we do competitive things. You know, we build civilization. No, if there is a patriarchy, women should be thankful for it because, you know, they are the beneficiaries. It's women who take more out of the tax system while putting less in. It is women who benefit from male inventions.
No, I mean, it's true. I put the women up a little pink pillow.
Of course. But that's exactly how we should treat women. We should treat them with chivalry and respect. You know, we should honor and obey women. But the problem is that feminists take advantage of that. They like to prey on a man's natural instinct.
They've been bullying us.
Exactly. Well, I mean, you know, I don't throw that word around too lightly, but it is kind of true.
I mean, no,
it's kind of true. And these women prey on a man's natural chivalrous instinct. Like when they play the victim, they say, "Oh, I'm at home crying," and that they know that male journalists are going to try to run to their defense. They're going to white knight them, you know? That is the worst kind of sociopathy and opportunism and ugly behavior. And all it does is drive the sexes apart. And you know, if you want a sort of compassionate point here, that hurts women most. Because men in their 30s can retreat into porn and video games and their buddies and sports and working out. They're generally okay.
You're right. No, statistics show men are retreating from women.
Right. And I wrote a piece about this, I think, 2 years ago called The Sexodus on Breitbart. And you know, you've covered this a lot. And I know Paul Joseph Watson's covered this a lot. This is a real thing. Men are kind of retreating out of society, sort of giving up on dating women because it's just too much hassle.
It's like you hate me, you're making stuff up. Fine, I'm out.
We know women, on the other hand, in their 30s, if they're still single, you know, getting to their late 30s, they're very, very unhappy. Men to kind of deal with it better. It's just another
you
way to
take the average feminist that's all whacked out and freaked out and deprogram them in like 2 weeks, and they're like, "Oh my God, I'm alive." This is
well, you probably do this in real life. I do, you know, I do this with people in my college talks, right? There's women in the audience who come and they come to cause trouble, and then they queue up at the end for a photo and said, "My life has just been changed. I had no idea." And I'm like,
it is. It's a psychological warfare brainwashing template, taking real issues that were going on in the past, projecting them on the things now just because a bunch of women who like women want their own stable of women. And instead, they're actually putting them into their own brainwashing camp, and they're actually oppressing them.
The real victims here are these young, vulnerable, impressionable girls who arrive at university and they meet these body positivity supporting professors who say it's fine to be fat, it's fine, you're healthy at any size. That's a lie. These people are lying to vulnerable, impressionable young girls of 17, 18,
well,
19
really
years
mean
old.
Is their man. So their 400-pound man meets them, they take them into a brainwashing camp, and they freak them all out, freaked out, and then tell them, "We're going to free you." You know, little girls' camps. I've got $2. I've got to watch out what camp you send them to. They'll just say some sports or art camp. Mm-hmm. You get there, and it's literally men are out to get you. We're going to teach you your new identity.
Of course.
Like, I don't tell my daughters that. They're going to learn that. You know, you're not their parent. I mean, these people are telling my kids stuff I found out that I haven't told them yet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
But this is a sort of social authoritarianism of the left. They want the state and they want the, you know, the, these lobbies and charities and feminists to step into the role of parent. Because, of course, this is the ultimate, you know, the Ghostbusters movie, right? In the first movie, libertarian, you know, private enterprise, they eventually conquer the tyrannous government. You know what happens at the end of the new Ghostbusters?
No.
They end up on the government payroll. The Ghostbusters, the female Ghostbusters, end up being paid by the state.
Let's get the woman under Hitler. He said, first you get the women to be the of all the men. Women under a fascist or totalitarian state, they marry the state.
Exactly. And this is exactly, precisely, I mean, is there a better analogy for modern feminism than the thin, mean, pathetic barbs and inefficacy and nastiness?
And notice, they even got chicks that didn't look good.
They're so ugly. They're so ugly.
And you know, trying to force
they're
Jesus,
so
it
ugly.
I haven't followed.
Yeah. I mean, I think it took $44 million in its opening weekend, and this is a $150 million film. They probably spent another $150 on marketing. This is a huge failure.
So the good news is it's blowing up in their face.
And Sony, because they are so desperate to be politically correct, this is the real good news, have committed to a sequel already. But just because of those nasty misogynists on the internet. So they're committed to a sequel. They're going to burn even more money. It's great.
So potentially The cult.
Just keep calling it like it is. This is a bad movie conceived out of spite. But you know, my jaw dropped at the end of that movie, where, and because the mayor's number two shows up at to see the Ghostbusters, says thanks for all you've done. We're going to take you in now. Anything you need, come to us. They end up civil servants. They end up a government department. Is there a better analogy for feminism than that? I don't think so.
Well, the government's taking over femininity. And it's going to be managed by a bunch of women that aren't women.
Yes.
By the way, I'm not bashing women that like women. I totally get it. And there's a lot of great women out there that happen to be lesbians that I know are great patriots. I'm just saying it's particular leftist, communist, weirdo women that
want to. You know, there's science on this. You know, there's science on this. And every once in a while, they'll give you a gift. And Lindy West, who's a very stupid and fat person, who wrote a column, I think, for Jezebel a few years ago, and she is both of those things, I'm sorry. She wrote a column for Jezebel, and she said, and she explained what this is all about. She said, women who don't conform to traditional beauty stereotypes are more likely to end up left-wing. Why? Because they find a sort of alternative culture that will accept them, and then they find this sort of weird pathological culture that says that being ugly and alternative is great, and you should get as fat as you want, darling, and your self-esteem shouldn't, you know, rest on a man's opinion of you. Well, if you want a husband, maybe it should.
Well, all I know is it's like there's a war on just people have always done different stuff, but it just seems like it's all these people that follow different lifestyles, and then they're pissed that other people are happy. And so all I say is, as long as
they want us to be as miserable as they are. That's what social justice is about. It's a sort of extended form of self-hurt, you know? It's a sort of self-harm extended out into the 30s, you know? All they want to do is hurt themselves and hurt people.
That's like the big thing in feminism is, too, like harming themselves.
Well, they're hurting other women. You know, in the 90s when we grew up, I had Marilyn Manson, I had Nirvana, I had, you know, all these, and there was the emo culture. I mean, I didn't cut myself, obviously, but plenty of my friends did. And, you know, we got it out of our system. Social justice kids, they're growing up on, like, Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber. They don't get it out of their systems. So they get into their 30s and they're still angry and it's got to go somewhere, and it turns, in my view, into social justice. Social justice is a kind of protracted, like, self-loathing, I think.
We're going to go to break in a moment, and I would imagine listeners might want to obviously talk to you. The toll-free number, if you want to talk to Milo,
sure.
The specific quick question is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. In fact, the press was unable to talk to him. You can call in, and you remember the press.
I've got to tell you very quickly. We turned the Daily Show away from our Gays for Trump party. So they showed up, and they wanted to do their typical slice and dice to make people look stupid. So we trained the camera on them, and we've been like, well, we'll have your footage and our footage, and viewers can decide whether you gave us
their
attention. So they ran away. So Daily Show, if you're watching and you'd like to actually ask a real question, get a real answer, feel free to call in.
Exactly, because when you take the field against these totalitarians, they crumble.
They're playground bullies.
800-259-9231. Milo, obviously people go to Breitbart.com. They can read your stories there. They can read your evil review of the Ghostbusters. Where else can they follow you?
You can follow me on YouTube. I'm not difficult to track down there. I'm going to open a Snapchat account. My revenge on Twitter is I'm going to Snapchat, which is probably better for me anyway because a lot of my fans are so young.
But what is it shows how they are disconnected. They've only taken you from being a star to a superstar by banning you and saying lifetime ban.
They don't understand the Streisand effect at all. They just don't get it. They don't understand that by letting me get on with it, they are causing less harm to their own cause than making me a sort of martyr.
Well, Twitter is only going to endanger itself, because I've seen Dig and other places years ago that did censorship go from big
and
to small.
And they all crumble. Once you stop, you know, it's a private company. You can't demand that they adhere to the First Amendment, but you can remind them, and I will be reminding them over the next 6 months, that adhering to First Amendment principles is simply good business, because any social networks that don't do that end up crumbling.
Just like our comment page, people go crazy on
it. Yeah, I love it. Well, Breitbart's the same. You know, it's like Free Speech Central over there, and sometimes it's ugly, and sometimes it's brilliant. And
well, that's the glory of the internet. All the newspapers are crumbling. And they're even getting rid of comment sites. Yeah. They don't get people only come there to comment, dumbass.
They don't want to read the lies you're telling them. They want to have a debate with somebody.
Yeah, they don't seem to get that.
No, they don't. But that's great. It's more business for
people
us.
People 10 years ago would say, "Why don't people come here and attack you?" I'm like, "It's all made up crap anyway."
I don't know who gives a shit.
It's like, they always, me and McAdoo were married and all this crud. I only wish. No, seriously, this is so ridiculous. All right, Milo's here. Well, it's good to have you on air. We try to get you on air, so I'm glad
to
have it here in a big way, folks. Get this link out, Infowars.com/show or stations you're listening to. This is a political thought criminal. Don't worry, if we don't defend him, you're next. Stay with us.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Dr. Grip, you developed Living Defense for us. It took you over a year to do it. Why is this so good?
Because people are actually waking up to the problem that pretty much scares me the most. I mean, I try to make sure that I don't put toxins from food and water and beverages in my system. But right now, we're dealing with massive parasites, which is anything that's harmful to your body that lives off a host mechanism. Right now, with all the refugees spreading disease around, we have biological warfare going on everywhere. These are all parasites.
Tell us about all the stuff that says there's so many things that are in it.
You have the neem in there. You have the organic clove bud, the organic wormwood. I recommend doing a parasite cleanse at least twice a year.
All right. Well, I'm glad we've got some back in because I'm going back on it today. It just came back in yesterday. Living Defense, InfoWarsLife.com. And, folks, you can't lose. It's full of stuff that's great for your body, period. And you support the broadcast, InfoWarsLife.com. Thank you, Dr. Grip from the Global Healing Center. Thank you so much for all your work, sir, on this great product. If you ever wanted a great deal on a powerful solar generator but were waiting for an outrageously low price, you are not going to want to miss this important message. Here's why. My friends, we already see major power grid problems, and it's getting worse. So please listen. Solar generators really do provide life-saving electrical power. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run silently, emit no fumes or gases, and produce electricity from the sun. Whether it's dangerous summer storms, blackouts, intensifying civil unrest, you're not going to have to suffer through it like the rest of the sheep. And here's the best news if you want to get one this week. Solutions from Science has a big sale on their fast charge solar generators, and they're giving away a couple $1,000s worth of off-the-grid gear in addition to the low price for InfoWars listeners. So it's a good time to check it out. Go to GridWars.com. That's GridWars.com. It's a great opportunity to generate maximum electricity with minimum money. Go to GridWars.com. That's GridWars.com.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance. The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live with the thought criminal Milo Yiannopoulos. And of course, he's also on Facebook for now. Facebook's smarter. They've just been banning smaller folks, blocking memes we put out that go viral. Some memes going super viral with 10 million shares, they'll block it. But they understand they still want us on Facebook. Not Twitter. Twitter does seem to be one of the most servile to the establishment. Has that been your findings?
Oh, for sure. I mean, look, there are worries about Facebook. Facebook, for instance, is in league with the German government to criticize, you know, perfectly respectable concerns people have about immigration there. But Twitter's the one that's really, you know, hand in hand with, you know, nannying, mollycoddling, government officials. And also, of course, the worst set of social justice warriors, that whole Silicon Valley, you know, California nonsense, you know.
Where do you see this? Because you're a smart guy. I mean, I really actually want to hear, it's not just a question, where do you think it's going? How does this evolve, this huge clampdown on speech, this trying to brainwash the kids in school? I mean, it's so over the top. I read this stuff, and I can't believe they're actually doing it. It's, like, comical. In fact, I laugh a lot of times, like, 5 years ago, Seattle is banning brown paper bags because they could be seen as racist. And they went on and said, there's never been anyone claim a brown paper bag is connected to something racist. We're just banning it. So we see all this going on. I mean, I know it's social control, but then you actually talk to these so-called liberals. They're like mental patients. Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Well, I should largely share your analysis of why it's happened, but I might have a slightly more optimistic prognosis than you do. I sort of think that it's obvious from the success of Donald Trump, who we both like. It's obvious from Brexit. It's obvious from how popular people like us are, that there is a gigantic sort of popular rebellion, a revolt among people who don't necessarily hugely concern themselves
with
politics.
Those people that are out there.
Well, indeed, it's you people. You know, there's a huge popular revolt among people who are tired of being told they're sexist when they know they're not. Tired of being told they're racist when they know they're not. Tired of being labeled as bigots when they have perfectly respectable, reasonable opinions that millions of people share. I think we've reached a sort of breaking point where the left has overreached itself. It's taken too much for granted. It started, in its sort of puritanism, has started trying to control too many little minutiae of everyday life. And people are at breaking point. And I think the Trump phenomenon is an example of that. So I'm relatively optimistic about the future.
What has your political level? I mean, tell us about yourself. A lot of us, obviously, you are and read your writings and things and see your videos. But I mean, what was your evolution? Were you like brought up libertarian, conservative, liberal? I mean, what was it like? I mean, for me, it's just watching the so-called left grandstand and project onto clouds in the sky how they've been wrong. It really seems like a drama queen pity party.
It's gay. That's what it is. It's gay. I want to restore this word, by the way. I want to give everybody I do an interview with, I want to give them a lifetime retroactive fag pass so they can use words like gay in the way they're supposed to be used. I mean, rubbish, lame, Hillary supporting, immigrant loving, you know, all of this. So this, that's the proper use of gay. That's how I want to. There's stuff, you know what it was? I kind of grew up and I remember an element of choice in my sexuality, but I would never have gone with the gay thing if I'd known how awful other gay people were going to be. And I grew up watching this sort of victimhood and grievance and sort of, oh, we're so oppressed. And I didn't relate to that at all. I thought, what is wrong with you people? My experience of it was I was endlessly mollycoddled and pandered to and celebrated. You know, the media loves that. You know, there are so many talentless people who are in very influential
horrible
positions.
Horrible at the bars and the brand new BMWs and the jobs.
Yeah, isn't it just awful? I mean, you've got nothing going for you whatsoever except your sexuality, and you're on television, and, you know, readers will have their own ideas about who I'm talking about. But, you know, I just never related to any of that. And then when I started working as a journalist, I sort of saw the media and political correctness, of course, now in America has become deadly, with San Bernardino, Orlando. People knew about these guys and didn't report them for fear of being Islamophobic.
It's like
racist.
The Russian, the German minister got raped by Muslims.
And lied about it because she didn't want to stoke Islamophobia. It's so insane. It's so insane. In Sweden now, where you're not allowed to report the ethnicity and religion of rape.
In Finland, this guy got attacked by guys with guns and baseball bats. He fought back. So he's getting a 4-year sentence, and they're getting like 3 months.
Oh, my goodness. It's so insane. Anyway.
They said that for the crime of too vigorous self-defense.
I grew up, ashamed of being identified with this group of, like, hectoring, nannying, awful gays. I call them the bad gays. And I just realized that my, you know, calling was resisting this kind of political correctness. So I've become a kind of warrior for free speech and for the First Amendment, and that's why I love America, because it is
so... Well, sure, gay people, like, say, back in Greece or in Rome or wherever, like, manly and stuff. Where did this come from, like, this
the sissy stuff?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think, I like to have fun with with it, and I like to kind of dress in silly clothes.
Sure,
whatever. Sure, because it antagonizes the left, right?
Sure, I don't understand why they hate it, but I mean, fine. Yeah. I'm saying, when
but,
did that
but
become?
But this stuff, you know, it's very interesting to me that, you know, gay people are constantly celebrated as being unique and remarkable and all the rest of it, and they all look like each other, they sound like each other, they're terrible sets. I don't know where this meme occurred.
The gay guys used to, like, conquer the world, like, burn cities.
No, it's Alexander the Great, and now what do we have? RuPaul's Drag Race? I mean, I like that show because it's fun, but this is where gay culture and where gay people are so overrepresented in history, in like, you know, artists, philosophers, politicians. What do we have now? You know, nothing. Gay culture is so boring and so bland. I never identify with any of this stuff. I want people to push the limits of what can be thought and said. I want people to...
Sure, happened in the modern world? Because it's not just, quote, gay people that are acting like a bunch of fops. You've got men, women. Did civilization make it too easy when we got soft?
Yes, I think so. I mean, Camille Paglia, who you will know and I'm sure quite like, you know, says that the trans thing always pops up just before the fall of a great civilization.
It's a cycle.
You know? Yeah, and it's a sort of late decadent period in an empire's trajectory, you know? I pretty much think that's spot on for what we're experiencing in America. I think Europe is basically lost. I'd like to think that America could be saved, though. And I'd like to think that there is some hope for America and that there's a possibility that we can reaffirm and return to the primal importance of the principle of the First and Second Amendments, the basis on which this country is founded, what made it the best country in the world, and just remind everybody what happens when you don't have those things. Look at the Middle East, look at Africa, look at the countries where you don't have freedom of expression.
Absolutely.
Freedom of thought.
And by the way, I'm going low tech here today, being very lazy. I have my computer over here, I can punch up callers, but I haven't done it on the Comrex. Will you guys, I open the phones up, will you send me the calls on my iPhone so I can go to them? I am again here on the road at the RNC 2016. Milo is here with us, a ton of energy and making a lot of really great points. So I'm glad this interview happened. I'm really glad that I came to the RNC. I almost want to go to the DNC now. But I got to tell you,
I'm going to get killed in Sweden instead. Do you know that?
Do what?
I'm going to get killed in Sweden instead. Do you know that?
No.
No, I'm going to lead a gay pride march through a Muslim ghetto in Stockholm next week.
I heard you. I hope you. They're probably about to arrest you for religious incitement, saying,
"Oh, probably.
How dare you have your rights?"
Yeah, probably. So I'm glad I did this. It might be the last interview I give.
Wow. Yeah, I got to tell you, you got some wavos, because Biggs and them aren't wimps, and they went over to Molenbeek there in Brussels, Belgium, and it was like, no go.
It's bad.
Like, you're not getting gas here, you're not eating here, get out.
Yeah, yeah.
People chasing them, screaming at them.
Yeah.
So you're going, I forgot you're doing that too. Tell us what else you're up to.
Over summer, I'm going to be spending some time back in London for a change in August, and then in September, my Dangerous Faggot Tour starts again, the college tour where I've been.
Explain that. Yeah, talk about that. A lot of folks have heard about it or they've seen clips, but you just try to go speak at colleges and they try to stop you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're so liberal.
Well, because they can't cope with the idea that a gay man might have opinions that go off reservation. You know, the left has persuaded people for so long.
So you're saying you're not a cult?
Right, I'm not in a cult. You know, I like to think of myself as a free thinker, as an iconoclast, you know, and I just like to talk about free speech and why it matters. And this is such an offense to the left that is so distasteful to the left that they send people down, they pay protesters to come down and, like, you know, leap on stage, swing for me, snatch the mic. It's remarkable. It's remarkable. Black Lives Matter in DePaul, you know, charged the stage, wouldn't let the event continue. So we led a march on the principal's office and said,
what does your gut tell you? I mean, we've seen Michael Moore come out on Politically Correct last night and say, look, I think Trump's going to win. I think he is too, because. Yeah. Most people are closeted and they're afraid to admit they're for Trump. I mean, I think unless there's huge election fraud, I think Trump wins in a landslide.
I have a feeling it's either going to be a narrow victory or a big defeat. I'm not sure about the landslide, but I will. You know about preference falsification. Of course you do.
Yes.
I very much believe that is happening in America right now. You know, it's kind of the BuzzFeed thing. Everyone sort of says they read BuzzFeed and everyone sort of says they're a feminist because it's easy, because the social pressures all move in that direction. It, you know, just for quiet life, you'll kind of agree with certain things you don't really agree with. I think Trump is an example of this, and I think we're going to see what's called a preference cascade, you know, when people just suddenly realize there's no social consequences attached to telling the truth, voting how you really want to vote, and you realize that loads of your friends are doing it too. That's happening right now in America. People are sort of having
That's why I'm thinking you have a landslide.
Right. Well, people have it. I mean, maybe you're right. People are having these furtive conversations with each other about, are you voting for... Yeah. And this is happening right now in America, all over the country, and the pollster, you know, people lie to pollsters about this stuff all the time because they don't...
I've had Hispanic guys that are doing my yard come over and say, I like your show, your brother speaking English, I like Trump.
Yeah.
And I say, why? And he goes, he wants to, you know, make money for family.
Yeah,
and yeah.
It's true, but you know, you go to Los Angeles.
Taxes, you know, oh yeah, genius.
Everyone someone tells you that, you know, these in Los Angeles, like, you know, everyone's up in arms about Trump. I, you know, I go to Los Angeles all the time because we're based there, and everybody I meet is voting for Trump. You know, we went into a camera store to pick up a lens the other day, and the guy behind the counter is Hispanic, and he saw a little pin or something on me, and he's like, yeah, mugger. You know, like, all the time.
It's also a rebellion thing. It's like, look, forget even who Trump is. We're sick of the Bushes. We're sick of the Obamas. We're sick of the Clintons.
Right. Right. Well, it's that sort of tired globalist establishment order, you know, sort of the business as usual candidates. People want to see them burn. They want to hurt them, you know?
What happens to Trump, though, if he doesn't try to deliver? Man, he is. If he gets in office and doesn't try to deliver, wow, I'm coming after him.
I mean, I kind of want him to build the wall, fix trade, smash political correctness, and then do nothing else, you know? I don't want him to do anything else. I want him to be like Coolidge. I want him to be basically a president who just sits there and quietly administers.
Then go play golf.
We don't need any more activist presidents.
Just take the foot off America's neck.
Right. Why do we need more government departments, more federal government spending, more, like, you know, we don't need activist presidents anymore. We've had enough of those, I think. You know, you have had enough of those.
I want to go to calls here in a moment, but in 60 seconds, addressing the, you know, the camera right there, Milo, what is the 60-second boil down of where this country is?
America is... And I don't say this lightly, and I know people say this every election, but America really has a huge decision that's going to determine the future of the country, because the next president is going to get to appoint a huge number of Supreme Court justices. It cannot be Hillary Clinton. Men will be under attack. You know, even white people will be under attack, based on what some of Hillary Clinton's friends like to say. Donald Trump represents to me the most exciting thing that's happened in politics in America in the last 30 years, and that is an existential threat to political correctness. It is the best thing that's happened to America, and it is the most important thing you can possibly do if you love the Constitution and you appreciate the principles on which America was founded, is vote for Trump.
It's a no-brainer. The entire filthy power structure is against him. I mean, how could you not be for Trump?
Look at the people who hate him. That tells me more than enough. You know, everyone who hates him the most, they're the worst people in the world, and that's good enough for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Milo, you know, I've talked to you in private. You're a calm, subdued, gentlemanly guy, and I've always seen your clips on TV. You're very animated. But I tell you, you got a lot of energy, man, and your points are all really cogent.
High energy, as we like to say.
Absolutely. I want to take some phone calls here for folks for Milo, but again, since you're being censored, don't take for granted InfoWars.com. Don't take for granted DrudgeReport.com. Don't take for granted what Milo's been doing. They're coming after all of us, as Drudge almost a year ago came in the studio to warn everybody in that exclusive interview. So Milo, give people the different contact points for you.
You can find me on Facebook. Just search for my name. You'll see the little verified check. Amazingly, Facebook hasn't taken that away yet. They do seem to be a little better. I think you're right about that. You can find me on YouTube, and you can find all the stuff by and about me, all the journalist stuff, clips from media appearances, and all sorts of things at Breitbart.com/Milo.
Well, I haven't heard anything where anybody needs to be banned or arrested. I really, you know.
No, I don't think I've said anything that makes me a danger to the state yet.
I mean, and it's true that Janet Reno looked like the Stay Puft Marshmallow.
I mean, what kind of a world do we live in when we can't call an ugly person ugly? I mean, please, if someone's ugly, they're ugly.
Hey,
you know?
I'm ugly compared to what I looked like 20 years ago.
I don't know.
You're only going to get uglier, so no, people say it.
You're doing a game for your age, actually.
Well people right. Call me names all the time. I think it's funny. Since when can people not take something, you know?
No, of course. I mean, you know, not being able to take a joke. You know what the worst of it is? The worst of it is they're allowed to come at you with all of the vitriol that they can muster, all of the spitefulness and hatefulness they can muster. But somebody on the political right or a libertarian cracks a joke, and they sort of disingenuously pretend that it was some kind of hate attack, and it's like, no, I was just making fun of you, and making fun of you is okay.
There was a video like 6 months ago or 5 months ago. Vegas was out at this Oregon University where they banned the Trump people in the middle of having their own event. And they were, by the way, Hispanic.
Yeah.
They've been banned. And Biggs, those were wearing InfoWars shirts, and literally, these even professors came in, and they saw them, they go, InfoWars, I'm scared! And they go, police! And they knew it was fake, but it was like, my God, these are like two-year-olds.
I don't know why, it's this sort of feigned fear. I mean, like, I bet you're lovely, you're not, like, you know, it's like, in what way are you at risk and this stuff? They say when I go on college campuses, I'm a threat to their physical
Remember
safety.
Remember the chalking?
Are you kidding? I know, chalking is a hate crime, you know, it's a threat to our...
It's Trump 2016.
Yeah, this is a race hate crime that is banned from DePaul. You know, and this represents a threat to physical safety of students. Get a grip. This is
Man,
ridiculous.
This is like crazy. It's like living in a prison.
It's ridiculous.
Cindy.
Prison would be a lot more fun.
Cindy says she's a gay woman on feminism. Thanks for calling in, Cindy. You're on the air worldwide with Milo. Go ahead.
Hi, Milo. You're a real baby doll. You're real cute. Anyway, I'm a gay woman, have been for 40 years. I despise feminism. I always have.
Bravo.
Cheyenne, Clint Walker, that man always turned me on. I love men.
Okay, so you're not too gay. You like men, actually.
No. Yeah, I mean, I had a compliment. Some other men having compliments. How much of a lesbian are you really, madam?
No, the only difference is that I don't like sex with
men. She's double dipping.
I was viciously raped when I was young. And it kind of turned me off toward the sexual aspect of it. But I'm very patriotic. I like chauvinist men. I love when men opening doors. You know,
I
know you think that's funny, but...
But how is that chauvinist? I was just told by my mother to do that.
No, I think she means chivalrous.
Chivalrous, yeah. Chivalrous. But that's what I mean. I was told to do that by my mother.
Of course. But
so it's her fault.
But you know what it is? Feminism has been telling women for 30 years to treat women just like we treat each other. What taunting is how men bond. Let me tell you, women don't like it when men speak to them like they speak to each other. Men speak to each other horribly. They speak to women generally with respect and with consideration. You do not want that. Trust me, ladies. I mean, women backstab each other and bitch about each other in private. Men just like roast each other in public, and women generally don't deal with that as well. Trust me, you don't want that.
Good points, ma'am. Good to hear from you. Let's go ahead.
Thank you.
Got a lot of ladies calling today. Melissa in New York. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to say, Milo, I'm a big fan of yours. And I have to say fan because, yes, I am a fat girl. And I get a lot of
Oh, no, that's okay. That's okay.
Sweetheart, there's nothing wrong with being a little juicy. We're just saying we're going to make jokes about it.
Yes, which I think she's behind us.
But Milo, you know, has been writing articles lately about big girls, and I get flack for being a fan of his and being a big girl. But I just have a question for you. You talk about being rich, and I was wondering if you had been talking to investors about maybe starting your own social media platform for people who are conservatives or for people who are free speech advocates when we have Twitter shadow banning people.
Well, thank you for the question. I'm not an entrepreneur, and I don't think I'd be very good at the head of a social networking company because I'd be too wild and too pro-free speech. I'd like anything.
Hold on, we're going to skip this break. I heard music coming in. Go ahead.
Sure thing. I think I'm not probably the right person to do it, but I'm very interested in hearing from people who are up to that. I know that a lot of people have emailed me saying they want to start an alternative to Twitter. A lot of people are saying, what social networks are you going to? Look, very simple for me. You know, Twitter sent a very big political statement. They didn't just block anyone. They blocked me, and it was a big political statement. It was the moment that Twitter said, if you like irreverence, mischief, fun, if you like people who take the mickey out of feminists, the mickey out of Black Lives Matter, if you like libertarians, if you like conservatives, if you like people who don't fit the mold, you're not welcome.
And if they can get away with shutting him down, they can shut us all down. Great to hear from him, Melissa. And let me say something about making fun of fat people. Listen, it's because they're trying to ban it, we have to do it. I gained 98 pounds over like 10, 15 years of not working out. I went from looking like a Calvin Klein model to looking like Jabba the Hutt. I do videos where I go, here I am as Jabba the Hutt. Here I am now, lost like 67 pounds. I look better. I'm going to lose the rest. The whole point is we're not saying you're bad because you're fat. We're just saying we can't totally accept it. Only like we can't accept diabetes. We have to admit there's a problem. But I don't hate anybody because they're fat. I hate a leftist who's fat, though. He says we should ban free speech because they don't want their feelings hurt.
No, and
I start talking about fat asses.
Of course. And, you know, this is an example of how the left creates the bigotry that it claims to be policing. It's a sort of Kafkaesque cycle where they create exactly what they say is out there in the world. The only reason I have a go at it is because people are sociopathically telling young girls that they get that body positivity is okay, that you can be healthy at any size. That's simply a lie. And if the way to get the message over to people is to take the fun out of fatties, because, by the way, all the studies show fat shaming works and all the sort of crazy liberal studies that are all horrible.
Yeah, instead of like, hey, be proud, you go from 500 to 1,000 pounds.
Yeah.
No, you need to go climb some hills.
No, exactly. There's nothing.
Look, I'm a fat ass. I haven't worked out since I've been here. When I get back, I'm on a 20-mile hike.
Right.
Already set up.
Of course. You know, and it's like, you know, the only reason that we do it is because we're provocateurs and we understand instinctively, both of us, and that's why I like you so much. We understand that free speech is meaningless if people are only saying what's so already socially acceptable. You know, you have to defend free speech at the limits of free speech. You have to defend offensive
speech.
Otherwise, it means nothing.
Network, you guys didn't get a break, did you? Because I'm getting a... Okay, I'm just getting a little bit of a feeder. Good. We did skip the break. Good job. We're like, they're like Houston. We're like over on the moon right now. Except it's Cleveland. Agriglobalism, it kind of outside the city area, kind of looks like the moon, but the people here are awesome.
That's the mistake on the lake. They call it the mistake on the lake. You know that?
That's an awesome place.
No, I like it.
Kissing their ass. The people here are great.
I like it.
Have you felt energy here?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. And you know what's remarkable is I was told when I came to the Republican National Convention, oh, there are going to be all these Christians. They're not going to like you. They're going to blank you. They're going to be frosty. I have had nothing but the warmest reception here. People walk up to me. They laugh at me here. And you know that Mike. And it's amazing when you look at the response from the Hillary Clinton sort of Saudi funded leftist pandering to Islam people who treat.
Yeah, if you went next week to Philadelphia, you would not be loved.
Can you imagine it? Can you imagine
it? You missed it.
Yeah, no, exactly. And here, people come up to me with compassion and kindness and love. And I know that not all of your audience are into the Christian thing, but some of them will be.
Sure.
And you know, and all I can say is, you know, even the most socially conservative Republicans, which doesn't describe either of us, the most socially conservative Republicans still come to you with kindness and decency and compassion. They're real people. They're nice people. Republicans are really nice people. I like them.
You know? No, they don't shoot cops in the back of the head.
And they don't shoot cops in the back of the head.
For me, because I'm on some cop butt-kissing contest, but I mean, it makes you like totally go to the side of the place.
I would enter such a competition.
Exactly. But I mean, we're sitting there, and there's people shooting police in the back, and Obama's like, well, they better reform. That's implying they deserve to die.
Mm-hmm.
That is so randomly killing people.
Yeah.
Anybody is just really gets to me.
Well, the left calls that victim blaming, don't they? You know, when a woman gets sexually assaulted for wearing a short skirt, you know, it's unacceptable to mention...
The mayor of Cologne.
Right.
It's said the women deserved it.
It's unacceptable to mention the fact that she was out late in a dark alley, drunk in a miniskirt, because, of course, you know, it's absolutely completely unacceptable to even suggest that she has any responsibility to keep herself safe.
Because they're feminist saying.
Unless it's the Muslims, in which case... And he literally said women should go out with companions, maybe not stay out late. You know, I was half expecting him to say maybe they should wear hijabs. You know, like, I mean, seriously. This is the double standards is so insane.
Well, let's just say it. The West is where libertarianism, the Renaissance came from. We recognize our problems and made it more open.
That's the Enlightenment,
but,
right?
Exactly. But then we look at the fact that we're not perfect, and then we all get in this thing of hating ourselves when we are the best.
The West
like
is
Jim
the best.
Like Jim Morrison, the West is the best.
The West is the
and
best.
And so just stop saying the open, most free place in the world is the worst. Because we're willing to look in the mirror with a bunch of people that chain women up like dogs. I mean, that is the biggest load of horse manure I've ever heard.
It's true, and I'm sorry to keep bringing it back to the gay thing, but you know, it's like 100 million people live in Muslim countries where you can be swinging from a crane for having gay sex, and over here I'm told that I'm the problem, that I'm hateful, and you know, that I'm the, you know, that, and that Christians who don't want to bake a cake for a lesbian wedding are equivalent as Sally
Cohn. Yeah, let them have their free speech, let them lose the business.
Sally Cohn. The dumbest woman in America. This, you know, the Jewish lesbian on CNN, Sally Cohn, awful, awful person, says that, you know, conservatives are just as bad as Muslims, you know, oh, is it? Please, please, the lack of perspective on the left is so astonishing to me.
Well, they're a call. I know they're taking over. Let's take another call here. Let's talk to Ann in Indiana. Ann in Indiana, you're on the air. Go ahead with Milo.
Idiot people. I love you guys.
Right. Hi.
We love you too, Ann. What's your point?
I'm a 60-year-old grandma. I love you both. Listen,
thank you.
I think Hillary's just the kind of woman that you're talking about, and I'm very mm-hmm. concerned that the Clinton crime machine is going to steal this election with voter fraud and take it over with Fox News and everything else. What can mm-hmm. we do to combat this other than being informed?
Raise the alarm. They hope we all just don't notice it and go to sleep. Point out, this country is in a death battle. The greatest, like you said, everybody says it's every election. No, this, you can feel the energy, you can see it. This is critical.
You can tell from what's going on in the streets. You can tell how excited people are on both sides. You've got Trump supporters who generally are well-mannered, fun, joyous, like the meme brigade. You know, you've probably been on the Donald, the Reddit, so you know,
sure.
the subreddit. They're the most fun people on the internet. They're so great. You know, they're fantastic, lively, good-natured discussions.
Smart.
Really smart, too. Like, really, really smart people. And then you've got, you know, the hateful, horrific, lesbianic, and Black Lives Matter mobs, you know. But both groups of people excited, really innovated about this election. I've never seen anything quite like that. I mean, I guess if you're worried about voter fraud, the answer is make sure Donald Trump gets a landslide so there's really nothing they can do, and they just reduce his majority from, you know, 10% to 2 or whatever, but at least he wins.
That is the answer, man. Thank you so much. Any other points? She's gone, but I got a bunch of other callers, but the fourth hour's coming up. Who's hosting the fourth hour today? Talking to Houston.
Anthony
Gugliardi's host of the fourth hour with a bunch of clips, well-known as the communist attacking, always food, everything else. Milo, I look forward to having you back on the broadcast with us.
I would love that.
The callers, we're going to get you after he's gone. But I appreciate you coming here and realize this is a good place for open free speech live on the radio to almost 200 stations and, of course, on the Internet. We have about 60 seconds. Any other points?
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a long time coming. I hope everybody enjoyed it. And, yeah, I'd love to come back on again. It's very, very important, I think, to realize that America is at a crossroads in this election. I come to you as a warning from Europe. We have, you know, don't follow our future. Don't go in for Islamicization.
And listen, regardless of whose speech it is, yours is, I agree with almost all your speech, but you're under attack, man. They're shutting you down. We're next. This is a major canary in the coal mine. They got double X's in the eyes here. We've got to revive him over here. All right, we'll be back in 70 seconds. Anthony Gucciardi. Milo, thank you so much.
Thanks, buddy.
Great job. Great job, crew, too, and the rest of your crew.